Yes, revenge! Oh, slave!
There's but one done! The sun is flight.
We have lost best half of her affair.
Well, let's away and see how much is done.
You know your own degrees. Sit down. First and last, the hearty welcome.
Thanks to your Majesty.
Ourself will mingle with society and play the humble host. Our hostess keeps her state, but in best time, we will require her welcome.
Pronounce it for me, sir. To all our friends, for my heart speaks, they are welcome.
See, they encounter thee with their hearts, thanks. Both sides are even. Here, I'll sit in the midst. Be large in mirth. Anon, we'll drink a measure the table round. There's blood on thy face.
Tis Banquo's, then.
There's better thee without than he within. Is he dispatched?
My lord, his throat is cut. That I did for him.
Thou art the best of the cutthroats. Yet he's good that did the like for Fleance. If thou didst it, thou art the nonpareil.
Most royal, sir. Fleance escaped.
And comes my fit again. I had else been perfect. Whole as the marble, founded as the rock. As broad and general as the casing air, but now I am cabined, cribbed, confined, bound in to saucy doubts and fears.
The bank was safe.
Aye, my good lord. Safe in a ditch he bides, with 20 trenched gashes on his head, the least a death to nature.
Thanks for that. There the grown serpent lies. The worm that's fled, hath nature that in time will venom breed. No teeth were the present. Get thee gone. Tomorrow we'll hear ourselves again.
My royal lord, you do not give the cheer. The feast is so that is not often vouched. While 'tis a making, 'tis given with welcome. To feed were best at home. From thence the sauce to meat is ceremony. Meeting were bare without it.
Sweet remembrance, sir. Now, good digestion, weight on appetite, and health on both.
May it please your highness, sit.
Here had we now our country's honour roved, where the graced person of our Banquo present, who may I rather challenge for unkindness than pity for mischance.
His absence, sir, lays blame upon his promise. Pleased, your highness, to grace us with your royal company.
The table's full.
Here is a place reserved, sir.
Where?
Here, my good lord. What is the move, your highness?
Which of you have done this?
What, my good lord?
I canst not say I did it. Never shake thy gory locks at me!
Gentlemen, rise. His highness is not well.
Sit! Worthy friends, my lord is often thus, and hath been from his youth. Pray you, keep seat. The fit is momentary. Upon a thought, he will again be well. If much you note him, you shall offend him and extend his passion. Feed, and regard him not. Are you a man?
Aye, and a bold one. A dear look on that, which might appall the devil.
Oh, proper stuff! This is the very painting of your fear. This is the air-drawn dagger which you said led you to Duncan. Oh, these flaws and starts. Impostors to true fear would well become a woman's story at a winter's fire, authorized by her grandam. Shame itself! Why do you make such faces? When all's done, you look but on a stool.
Pretty sir, behold, look, oh, how say?
Why, what care I if thou canst not speak to? If charnel houses and our graves must send those that we bury back, our monument shall be the maws of kites!
What? Quite unmanned in folly?
If I stand here,
I saw him by for shame.
Blood hath been shed ere now, in the olden time, ere a human statute purged the gentle wheel. Aye, and since too, murders have been performed too terrible for the ear. The times have been that when the brains were out, the man would die. And there an end, but now they rise again, with 20 mortal murders on the crowns and pushes from our stools. This is more strange than such a murder is.
My worthy lord, your noble friends do lack you.
I do forget. Do not muse at me, my most worthy friends.
I have a strange infirmity, which is nothing to those that know me. Come, love and health to all. Then I'll sit down. Give me some wine. I drink to the general joy of the whole table. And to our dear friend Banquo, whom we miss. Would he were here. To all and him, we thirst. And all to all.
Our duties and the pledge.
Avaunt and quit my sight! Let the earth hide thee! Thy bones are marrowless, thy blood is cold, thou hast no speculation in those eyes which thou dost glare with.
Think of this, good Piers, but as a thing of custom. 'Tis no other, only it spoils the pleasure of the time.
Dear, I dare. Approach thou like the rugged Russian bear, the armed rhinoceros, or the hircan tiger. Take any shape but that, and my firm nerve shall never tremble or be alive again and dare me to the desert with thy sword. If trembling I inhabit, then protest me that baby of a girl. Hence, horrible shadow! Unreal mockery! Hence! My sword being gone, I am a man again. Pray you sit still.
You have displaced the mirth, broke the good meeting with most admired disorder.
Can such things be? And overcome us like a summer's cloud without our special wonder? You make me strange, even to the disposition that I owe, where now I think you can behold such sights and keep the natural ruby of your cheeks while mine is blanched with fear.
What sights, my lord?
I pray you speak not. He grows worse and worse. Question enrages him. At once, good night. Stand not upon the order of your going, but go at once.
Good night, and better health attends his majesty.
A kind good night to all.
It will have blood, they say. Blood will have blood. Stones have been known to move, and trees to speak. Augurs and understood relations have, by maggot pies and chops and rooks, brought forth the secrets, man of blood. What is night?
Almost at odds with morning, which is which.
How sayest thou that Macduff denies his person at our great bidding?
Did you send to him, sir?
I heard it, by the way, but I will send. There's not a one of them, but in his house I keep a servant feed. For mine own good, all causes shall give way. I am in blood. Stepped in so far that should I wait no more, returning were as tedious as go. Strange things I have in head that will to hand, which must be acted ere they may be scanned.
You lack the season of all nature's sleep.
Come, we'll to sleep. My strange and self-abuse is the initiate fear that wants hard use. We are yet but young indeed. Now, you secret black and midnight hags, what is you do?
A deed without a name.
I conjure you, by that which you profess, howe'er you come to naught, answer me. Though you untie the winds and let them fight against the churches, though the yesty waves confound and swallow navigation up, though bladed corn be lodged and trees blown down, though castles topple on their warders' heads,
the palaces and pyramids do slope their heads to their foundations. Though the treasure of nature's germens tumble all together, even till destruction sicken, answer me to what I ask you.
Speed, demanded answer. Say, if thou'dst rather hear it from our mouths or from our master.
Call him. Let me see him.
Come high or low, thyself and office deftly show.
Tell me, thou unknown power.
He knows thy thought. Hear his speech, but say thou not.
Macbeth! 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 Beware, Macduff. Beware the Thane of Fife. Dismiss me. Enough.
Whate'er thou art, for thy good caution, thanks. Thou hast harmed my fear, all right. But one word more.
I will not be commanded. Here's another, more potent than the first.
Macbeth. Macbeth. Macbeth.
Had I 3 years, I'd hear thee.
Be bloody, bold, and resolute. Laugh to scorn the power of man. For none of woman born shall harm Macbeth.
Then live, Macduff. What need I fear of thee? But yet I'll make assurance double sure, and take a bond of fate. Thou shalt not live, that I may tell pale-hearted fear it lies, and sleep in spite of thunder. What is this that rises like the issue of a king, and wears upon his baby brown the round and top of sovereignty?
Listen, and speak not to it.
Be lion-mettled. Proud, and take no care who chafes, who frets, or where conspirers are. Macbeth shall never vanquished be until Big Birnam Wood to High Dunsinane Hill shall come against him.
That will never be. Who can impress the forest, bid the tree unfix his earth-bound root? Sweet bodiments, good. Rebellion's head, rise never till the wood of Burnham rise, and our high-placed Macbeth shall live the lease of nature, pay his breath to time and mortal custom. Yet my heart throbs to know one thing. Tell me if your art can tell so much. Shall Banquo's issue ever reign in this kingdom?
Seek to know no more.
I will be satisfied. Deny me this, and an eternal curse fall on you. Let me know.
Show his eyes and grieve his heart. Come like shadows, so depart.
Thou art too like the spirit of Banquo.
Down! Thy crown does sear mine eyeballs, and I hear. Thou other gold-bound brow is like the first. A third is like the former. Filthy hags, why do you show me this? A fourth, start eyes. What will the light stretch out to the crack of doom? Another yet, a seventh, I'll see no more. And yet an eighth appears, who bears a glass, which shows me many more. And some I see the twofold balls and trebled scepters carry. Horrible sight! Now I see it is true! For the blood-boltered Banquo smiles upon me and points at them for his.
Where are they? Gone? Let this pernicious hour stand I accursed in the calendar.
Come in without there.
What's your grace's will?
Saw you the weird sisters?
No, my lord.
Came they not by you?
No, indeed, my lord.
Infected be the air whereon they ride, and damned all those that trust them.
I did hear the galloping of horse. Who was come by?
'Tis two or three, my lord, that bring you word. Macduff has fled to England.
Fled to England?
Aye, my good lord.
time, thou anticipatest my dread exploits. The flighty purpose never is o'ertook, unless the deed go with it. From this moment, the very firstlings of my heart shall be the firstlings of my hand. And even now, to crown my thoughts with acts, be it thought and done. The castle of Macduff I will surprise, seize upon Fife, give to the edge of the sword his wife, his babes, and all unfortunate souls that trace him in his line. No boasting like a fool. This deed I'll do before this purpose cool. But no more sights.
What had he done to make him fly the land?
You must have patience, madam.
He had none. His flight was madness. When our actions do not, our fears do make us traitors.
You know not whether it was his wisdom or his fear.
Wisdom? To leave his wife, to leave his babes, his mansion and his titles in a place from whence himself doth fly?
My dearest Kaz, I pray you school yourself. But for your husband, he is noble, wise, judicious, and best knows the fits of the season. I dare not speak much further. I take my leave of you. Shall not be long, but I'll be here again. Things at the worst will cease, or else climb upward to what they were before. My pretty cousin, blessing upon you.
Fathered he is, and yet he's fatherless.
I am so much a fool, should I stay longer. It would be my disgrace and your discomfort. I take my leave at once.
Sarah. Your father's dead. And what will you do now? How will you live?
As birds do, mother.
What, with worms and flies?
With what I get, I mean. And so do they.
Poor bird. Thou'dst never fear the net nor lime, the pitfall nor the gin.
Why should I, mother? Poor birds they are not set for. My father is not dead, for all your sake.
Yes, he is dead. How wilt thou do for a father?
Nay, how will you do for a husband?
Why? I can buy me 20 at any market.
Then you buy them to sell again.
Thou speakst with all thy wit, and yet a faith with wit enough for thee.
Was my father a traitor, mother?
Aye, that he was.
What is a traitor?
Why, one that swears and lies.
And be all traitors that do so?
Every one that does so is a traitor, and must be hanged.
And must they all be hanged that swear and lie?
Every one.
Who must hang them?
Why, the honest men.
Then the liars and swearers are fools, for there are liars and swearers, and now to beat the honest men and hang up them.
God help thee, poor monkey. But how wilt thou do for a father,
If he were dead, you'd weep for him. If you were not, it were a good sign that I should quickly have a new father.
Poor prattler. How thou talkst. What are these faces?
Where is your husband?
I hope in no place so unsanctified where such as thou mayest find him.
He's a traitor.
Thou lies, then shut your mouth!
What?
Why in that rawness left you wife and child? Those precious motives, those strong knots of love, without leave-taking. I pray you, let not my jealousies be your dishonours, but mine own safeties. You may be rightly just, whatever I shall think.
Bleed, bleed, poor country. Great tyranny, lay thou thy bases sure, for goodness dare not check thee. Wear thou thy wrongs. The title is a fiend.
Be not offended. I speak not as an absolute fear of you. I think our country sinks beneath the yoke. It weeps, it bleeds, and each new day a gash is added to our wounds. I think withal there would be hands uplifted in my right. And here from gracious England have I offer of goodly thousands. But for all this, when I shall tread upon the tyrant's head, or wear it on my sword, yet my poor country shall have more vices than it had before, more suffer and more sundry ways than ever by him that shall succeed.
What should he be?
It is myself, I mean, in whom I know all the particulars of vice so grafted that when they shall be opened, Black Macbeth, will seem as pure as snow, and the poor state esteem him as a lamb, being compared with my confineless harms.
Not in the legions of horrid hell can come a devil more damned in evils to top Macbeth.
I grant him bloody, luxurious, avaricious, false, deceitful, sudden, malicious, smacking of every sin that has a name. But there's no bottom, none, in my voluptuousness. Your wives, your daughters, your matrons and your maids could not fill up the cistern of my lust.
Boundless intemperance in nature is a tyranny. It hath been the untimely emptying of the happy throne and fall of many kings. But fear not yet to take upon you what is yours. You may convey your pleasures in a spacious plenty. We have willing dames enough.
With this there grows in my most ill-composed affection such a staunchless avarice that were I king, I should cut off the nobles for their lands, desire his jewels and this other's house, and my more having would be as a sauce to make me hunger more.
This avarice sticks deeper, grows with more pernicious root than summer seeming lust, and it hath been the sword of our slain kings. Yet do not fear. Scotland hath foisons to fill up your will of your mere own. All these are portable with other graces, Wade.
But I have none. Nay, had I power, I should pour the sweet milk of concord into hell, uproar the universal peace, confound all unity on earth.
Oh, Scotland, Scotland!
If such a one be fit to govern, speak. I am as I have spoken.
Fit to govern? No, not to live. Fare thee well. These evils thou repeatest upon thyself hath banished me from Scotland. Oh, my breast, thy hope ends here.
Macduff, this noble passion, child of integrity, hath from my soul wiped the black scruples, reconciled my thoughts to thy good truth and honour. What I am truly is thine, and my poor country's to command. Whither indeed, before thy here approach, old Seward with 10,000 warlike men, already at a point, was setting forth. Now, we'll together, and the chance of goodness be like our warranted quarrel. Why are you silent?
Such welcome and unwelcome things at once, 'tis hard to reconcile. See, who comes here?
My countryman, but yet I know him not.
My ever-gentle cousin! Welcome, hither!
I know him now. Good God, betimes remove the means that makes us strangers.
Sir, amen.
Stand Scotland where it did.
Alas, poor country, almost afraid to know itself. It cannot be called our mother, but our grave.
Oh, relation too nice and yet too true.
What's the newest grief?
That of an hour's age doth hiss the speaker. Each minute teems a new one.
How does my wife?
Quite well.
And all my children?
Well, too.
The tyrant has not battered at their peace.
No, they were well at peace when I did leave him.
Be not a niggard of your speech. How goest?
When I came hither to transport the tidings which I have heavily borne, there ran a rumour of many worthy fellows that were out, which was to my belief witnessed rather, for that I saw the tyrant's power afoot. Now is the time of help. Your eye in Scotland would create soldiers, make our women fight to doff their dire distresses.
Be it their comfort, we are coming thither. Gracious England hath lent us good Seward and 10,000 men.
Would I could answer this comfort with the like, but I have words that will be howled out in the desert air where hearing should not latch them.
What concern thee? The general cause, or is it a fee grief due to some single breast?
No mind that's honest, but in it shares some woe, though the main part pertains to you alone.
If it be mine, keep it not from me. Quick, Neil, let me have it.
Let not your ears despise my tongue forever, which shall possess them with the heaviest sound that ever yet they heard.
I guess I did.
Your castle is surprised, your wife and babes savagely slaughtered, to relate the manner where, on the quarry of these murdered deer, to add the death of you.
Merciful heaven! What, man? Ne'er pull your hat upon your brow. Give sorrow words. The grief that does not speak whispers the o'erfraught heart and bids it break.
My children, too.
Wife, children, servants, all that could be found.
And I must be from thence. My wife killed, too.
I have said.
Be comforted. Let's make us medicines of our great revenge to cure this deadly grief.
He has no children. All my pretty ones. Did you say all? Oh, Hellkite. All? What? All my pretty chickens and their dam at one fell swoop?
Dispute it like a man.
I shall do so! But I must also feel it as a man! I cannot but remember such things were that were most precious to me. Did heaven look on and would not take their part? Sinful Macduff, they were all struck for thee. Not that I am. Not for their own demerits, but for mine fell slaughter on their souls. Heaven, rest them now.
Be this the whetstone of your sword. Let grief convert to anger. Blunt not the heart. Enrage it.
Oh, I could play the woman with mine eyes and braggart with my tongue. But, gentle heavens, cut short all intermission. Front to front, bring thou this fiend of Scotland and myself. Within my sword's length, set him. If he scape, heaven forgive him too.
When was it she last walked?
Since His Majesty went into the field. I've seen her rise from her bed, throw her nightgown upon her, unlock her closet, take forth paper, fold it, write upon it, read it, afterwards seal it, and again return to bed. Yet all this while in a most fast sleep.
A great perturbation in nature to receive at once the benefit of sleep and do the effects of watching. In this slumbery agitation, besides her walking and other actual performances, what at any time have you heard her say?
That, sir, which I will not report after her.
You may to me, and 'tis most meet you should.
Neither to you nor anyone, having no witness to confirm my speech. Lo you, here she comes. This is her very guise, and upon my life, fast asleep. Observe her. Stand close.
How came she by that light?
Why, it stood by her. She has light by her continually. 'Tis her command.
You see, her eyes are open.
Aye, but their sense is shut.
What is it she does now? Look how she rubs her hands.
It is an accustomed action with her to seem thus washing her hands. I've known her continue in this a quarter of an hour.
Yet, here's a spot.
Hark, she speaks. I will set down what comes from her to satisfy my remembrance the more strongly.
Out. Damn spot! Out, I say! One. Two. Why then, 'tis time to do it. Hell is murky. Fie, my lord, fie. A soldier and a feared. What need we fear who knows it when none can call our power to account? Yet, who would have thought the old man to have had so much blood in him?
Do you mark that?
The Thane of Fife had a wife. Where is she now? What? Will these hands ne'er be clean? No more of that, my lord. No more of that. You mar all with the starting.
Go to, go to. You have known what you should not.
She has spoke what she should not. I'm sure of that. Heaven knows what she has known.
Here's a smell of the blood still. Oh, all the perfumes of Arabia will not sweeten this little hand. Oh, oh, oh.
eye is there. The heart is sorely charged.
I would not have such a heart in my bosom for the dignity of the whole body.
Well, well, well.
Pray God it be, sir.
This disease is beyond my practice. Yet I have known those which have walked in their sleep who have died holily in their beds.
Wash your hands. Put on your nightgown. Look not so pale. I tell you yet again, Banquo's buried. He cannot come out on's grave.
Even so.
To bed. To bed. There's knocking at the gate. Come. 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 Give me your hand. What's done cannot be undone. To bed. To bed. To bed.
Will she go now to bed?
Directly.
More needs she the divine than the physician. God, God, forgive us all. Look after her. Remove from her the means of all annoyance, and still keep eyes upon her. So good night. My mind she has mated and amazed my sight. I think, but dare not speak.
The English power is near, led on by Malcolm, his uncle Seward, and the good Macduff.
Revenge is burning them.
Near Birnam Wood, so we well meet them.
What does the tyrant?
Great Dunsinane, he strongly fortifies. Some say he's mad. Others that lesser hate him and do call it valiant fury.
Now does he feel his secret murder sticking on his hands. Now minutely revolts upbraid his faith breach. Those he commands move only in command, nothing in love. Now does he feel his title hang loose about him like a giant's robe upon a dwarfish thief.
Well, march we on. To give obedience where 'tis truly owed. Meet we the medicine of the sickly wheel, and with him pour we in our country's purge, each drop of us. Make we our march towards Birnam!
Bring me no more reports! Let them fly all! Till Birnam Wood remove to Dunsinane, I cannot taint with fear. Was the boy Malcolm? Was he not born of woman? The spirits that know all mortal consequences have pronounced me thus. Fear not, Macbeth. No man that's born of woman shall e'er have power upon thee. Then fly, false things, and mingle with the English epicures. The mind I sway by and the heart I bear shall never sag with doubt nor shake with fear. The devil damn thee, black thou cream-faced loon. Where got'st thou that goose look?
There's 10,000...
Geese, villain!
Soldiers, sir.
Go prick thy face and overrid thy fear, thou lily-livered boy. What soldiers? Patch! Death of thy soul, those linen cheeks of thine are counselors to fear. What soldiers? Wayface!
The English force, so please you.
Take thy face hence. Satan! I am sick at heart when I behold... Satan, I say! This push will cheer me ever, or deceit me now. I have lived long enough. My way of life is fallen into the sear. The yellow leaf, and that which should accompany old age, as honor, love, obedience, troops of friends, I must not look to have. But in their stead, curses, not loud but deep. Mouth honor, breath, which the poor heart would fain deny, and dare not. Satan!
What is your gracious pleasure?
What news more?
All is confirmed, my lord, which was reported.
I'll fight till from my bones my flesh be hacked. Give me my armor!
Tis not needed yet.
I'll put it on! Send out more horses. Scour the country round. Hang those that talk of fear. Give me mine armor. How does your patient, doctor?
Not so sick, my lord, as she is troubled with thick coming fancies that keep her from her rest.
Cure her of that. Canst thou not minister to a mind diseased? Pluck from the memory a rooted sorrow? Raise out the written troubles of the brain? And with some sweet, oblivious antidote, cleanse the stuffed bosom of that perilous stuff which weighs upon the heart?
Therein the patient must minister to himself.
Throw physic to the dogs! I'll none of it! Come, put my armor on! Give me my staff! Satan, send out! Doctor, the things fly from me. Come, sir, dispatch! If thou couldst, doctor, cast the water of my land, find her disease, and purge it to a sound and pristine health, I would applaud thee to the very echo that should applaud again. Pull it off, I say! What rhubarb, syme, or what purgative drug would scour these English hens? Hearest thou of them?
Aye, my good lord. Your royal preparation makes us hear something.
Bring it after me! I will not be afraid of death and bane! Tell Burnham Forest, come to Dunsinane!
What wood is this before us?
The wood of Burnham! Let every soldier hew him down a bough and bear it before him. Thereby shall we shadow the numbers of our host and make discovery ere and report of us.
It shall be done!
Hang out our banners on the outward walls! The cry is still, they come. Our castle's strength will laugh a siege to scorn. Here let them lie till famine and the ague eat them up. Were they not forced with those that should be ours, we might have met them dearful beard to beard and beat them backward home. What is that noise?
It is the cry of women, my good lord.
I have almost forgot the taste of fears. The time has been my senses would have cooled to hear a night shriek, and my fell of hair would at a dismal treatise rouse and stir as life were in it. I have supped full with horrors. Direness, familiar to my slaughterous thoughts, cannot once start me. Wherefore was that cry?
The queen, my lord, is dead.
She should have died hereafter. There would have been a time for such a word. Tomorrow, and tomorrow, and tomorrow creeps in this petty pace from day to day to the last syllable of recorded time. And all our yesterdays have lighted fools the way to dusty death. Out. Out, brief candle. Life's but a walking shadow. A poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage and then is heard no more. It is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. Thou comest to use thy tongue, thy story quickly.
Gracious my lord, I should report that which I say I saw, but know not how to do it.
Well, say, sir.
As I did stand my watch upon the hill, I looked toward Burnham, and anon methought the wood began to move.
Liar and slave!
Let me endure your wrath if it be not so. Within this 3 mile may you see it coming. I say a moving growth.
If thou speak'st false, upon the next tree shalt thou hang alive till famine cling thee. If thy speech be sooth, I care not if thou dost from me as much. I pull in resolution and begin to doubt the equivocation of the fiend that lies like truth. Fear not till Burnham Wood to come to Dunsinane, and now a wood comes toward Dunsinane. Arm! Arm and out! If this which he avouches does appear, there is nor flying hence, nor tarrying here. I begin to be aweary of the sun, and wish the estate of the world were now undone. Ring the alarm bell! Blow wind! Come wreck! At least we'll die with harness on our back!
Now, near enough! Your leafy screens throw down and show like those you are! You, worthy uncle, shall with my cousin, your right noble son, lead our first battle. Worthy Macduff and we shall take upon us what else remains to do according to our order.
Very well. Do we but find the tyrant's power tonight? Let us be beaten if we cannot fight.
Make all our trumpets speak. Give them all breath. Those clamorous harbingers are blood and death.
They have tied me to a stake. I cannot fly. But bear-like, I must fight the cause. Was he that was not born of woman? Such a one, am I to fear or not?
What is thy name?
Thou'll be afraid to hear it.
No, though thou callst thyself a hotter name than any is in hell.
My name's Macbeth.
The devil himself could not pronounce a title more hateful to mine ear.
No, nor more fearful.
Thou liest, abhorred tyrant. With my sword, I'll prove the lie thou speakst. Yeah! 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 Yeah!
Thou wast born of woman. The swords I smile at, weapons laughed to scorn, brandished by man that's of a woman born.
My lord, show thy face! If thou be a slain, and with no stroke of mine, my wife and children's ghosts will haunt me still. Let me find him fortune, and more I beg not!
This way, my lord. The castle's gently rendered. The day almost itself professes yours, and little is to do.
We have met with foes that strike beside us.
Enter, sir, the castle!
Why should I play the Roman fool and die on mine own sword, whilst I see lives the gashes do better upon them?
Turn! Hellhound! Turn!
Of all men else, I have avoided thee. But get thee back! My soul is too much charged with blood of thine already!
I have no words! My voice is in my sword! Thou bloody Evelyn! The chance can give thee!
Thou losest labor! As easy mayst thou the entrenchant ear! With thy keen sword and presses make me bleed! Let fall thy blade on vulnerable crests. I bear a charmed life, which must not yield to one of woman born.
Despair thy charm, and let the angel whom thou still hast served tell thee, Macduff was from his mother's womb untimely ripped.
Cursed be that tongue that tells me so. For it hath cowed my better part of man. And be these juggling fiends no more believed that palter with us in a double sense, that keep the word of promise to our ear and break it to our hope.
I'll not fight with thee!
Then yield thee, coward! And live to be the show and gaze of the time.
will have thee as our rarer monsters are, painted on a pole, and under writ, here may you see the tyrant.
I will not yield to kiss the ground before young Malcolm's feet, and to be baited with the rabble's curse. Though Burnham would be come to Dunsinane, and thou opposed being of no woman born, yet I will try the last. Before my body, I throw my warlike shield. Lay on, Macduff, and damn be him that first cries, hold enough!
My salutation in their minds, whose voices I desire aloud with mine. Hail, King of Scotland!
Hail, King of Scotland!
We shall not spend a large expense of time before we reckon with your several loves and make us even with you. My thanes and kinsmen, henceforth be earls, the first that ever Scotland in such an honour named. What's more to do, which would be planted newly with the time, as calling home our exiled friends abroad that fled the snares of watchful tyranny, producing forth the cruel ministers of this dead butcher and his fiend-like queen, who, as 'tis thought, by self and violent hands, took off her life. This, and what needful else, but calls upon us, by the grace of grace, we will perform, in measure, time, and place. So, thanks to all at once, and to each one, whom we invite to see us crowned at Scone.
In Macbeth by William Shakespeare, the part of Macbeth was played by Ken Stott, and Lady Macbeth by Phyllis Logan. Macduff was Tom Mannion, Banquo, Liam Brennan, Duncan, Hugh Ross, Malcolm, Alan Cox, Lennox, Paul Higgins, and Ross, Alistair Galbraith. Lady Macduff was Tracy Wiles, Seaton, Ian Stuart Robertson, Seward and the First Murderer, Gavin Muir, the sergeant and the second murderer, William McBean, and Fleance and young Seward, Stuart Wilkinson. Kenny Ireland was the porter, Graham Crowden, the old man, and Ken Drury, the doctor. Other parts were played by Catherine McGoldrick, Alex Ferns, and Ben McLeod. The music was composed and created by Dominic Muldowney. Technical presentation was by Rosamund Mason, Keith Graham, and Rachel Horan, and the production assistant was Jocelyn Boxall. Macbeth was adapted for radio and directed by Richard Eyre. The executive producer was Kate Rowland. Macbeth was produced for BBC Radio 3 and is published by BBC Worldwide.
And Shakespeare Retold continues on Radio 3 next Sunday night with a new production of Pericles with Tom Mannion and Benjamin Zephaniah.